I did want to mention that I just found out that Brother John Youngblood just took Becky to the emergency room. Let's pray for them. Let's also pray for Denise McCarson. I think she's supposed to find out some information this week about the future of her treatments. Continue to remember Gail and others that's lost her loved ones. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you tonight, thanking you for your word. We thank you for dying on a cross for our sins, Lord, so that we can have eternal life, eternity in heaven with you, and not go to hell where we deserve. God, we want to pray for these tonight, Sister Becky. We don't know any details. We want to pray for them. We want to pray for Miss Denise. I want to pray for Miss Gail and others, Lord, for this young baby that's in the NICU, Lord. Pray that you continue to be with them and help it to grow and get nourished like it's supposed to. And we pray all this in your will, Lord, and we want to pray for tonight's service, Lord, that you would be in the midst, that you'd be glorified, because you're worthy, and you're the only one worthy, Lord, and we want to praise you tonight, and we thank you and praise you. We pray that you would give me the words that I need to speak, and that you'd shut my thoughts and my mind out when I'm not supposed to say something, Lord. I just want to give it to you right now, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I really appreciate this opportunity. When Brother Gunn asked me the other night to do this, he knows what a heart I have for this youth of this church, and I really hope you get tired of me talking about them, because I really love them, and I know they're the future of the church, not only here, but all over. And God has a plan for them. And I hope these words and thoughts that the Lord's given me tonight will be encouragement to the youth as well as to the young at heart. And I just thank him for that. But in 1980, I went to Bible school at Mountain Home Baptist Church in Edneyville. It's where the church I grew up in. It's up on the mountain. It's where Brother Craig Guerin preaches today. But in 1980, I was 8 years old, going to Bible school, and the Bible school teacher, just happened to be my dad, asked the class, is there anybody that needs to be saved? And myself and two other boys bowed that night in that little classroom in the basement of that church. And I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I've never been the same since. We're going to talk about two thoughts tonight. I want to read a couple of verses in Hebrews. Y'all don't have to turn there. We're going to focus on Daniel if you want to turn to Daniel 1. But let me read these two verses in Hebrews real quick. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I just gave you my testimony of when the Lord delivered me, gave me eternal life, saved me from a devil's hell. Verse 6 of that same chapter says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this verse 11:6, Hebrews 11:6, is going to be our key tonight. It's got twofold goal tonight. First of all, we must believe. That's the most important part. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must put our faith in him. We must put our faith in him even though we haven't seen him. We haven't seen Jesus. We haven't seen God. We must put our faith in those things that are not seen. And secondly, It says, He, God is, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So secondly, as I mentioned earlier, I had the youth in mind in preparing this message. So I hope these words and thoughts, examples in the Bible and experiences I've had in my life will give you some encouragement, young people, as well as the older tonight. I mentioned I was saved at 8 years old. At 12 years old, at that same church, Mountain Home Baptist Church, we had a three-week revival. Many souls were saved. Spirit moved, and the Spirit moved in my life too. At 8 years old, I knew I needed the Savior. I believe that's when I got saved. But the Lord touched me when I was 12, and for lack of a better word, I don't think this is too fitting, but I guess you'd say I rededicated my life. But that's when I feel like the Lord dealt with me and I really got serious about following the Lord at 12 years old. I can remember sitting there in that verse, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believed I was saved. But that just tore up me. You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And I remember the Lord wanted me to get up at that revival and confess Him as Lord and Savior at 12 years old. I was nervous. I was a shy person. I was a quiet person. And I didn't want to get up and do it. But I thought that I needed to do that to be saved, just like that verse says. So at 12 years old, I was obedient, and I got up and confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. For you that's out there, God may have prompted you sometime to get up and say something about Him. I just ask that you would be obedient and do what the Lord asks you to do. He's going to reward you, just like we read, for those that diligently seek Him. And we're going to be talking about this over and over tonight. Okay, let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel's one of my heroes. And I don't know exactly how old he was, but I think he was pretty young. Maybe even a teenager, some say. I don't really know. The Bible doesn't say. But he does call them children, along with Daniel and Mishael and Hananiah and Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know why we've adopted those names, because that's the names that the Babylonians give them, the names of the world. Their names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But anyway, these were children of Israel, and the king wanted to use them. He wanted to get all the healthy men and the men that looked great, and he wanted to fatten them up and make them marry, because he wanted them to serve him and do things for him. He wanted the smart people and the ones with wisdom and the magicians and the soothsayers and things to just do his purpose. But young people, I challenge you, as Daniel was challenged here, to stand up for God. Verse 8 says, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. You see, he purposed in his heart. Just like we read in Hebrews, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, and God was in all this. I'm not praising Daniel here tonight, because God done it all through him. And the experience I'm going to share with you about my life, I don't want any praise whatsoever. I want to give all praise and honor and glory to Him because he dented all through me. But here in Daniel, God gave Daniel the strength to stand up against the king. And he asked the one over him, he says, if you don't care, he says in verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Pulse is just another name for corn. So they ate corn and they drank water. They didn't eat all this lavish food. They didn't drink the wine that the king gave. To make a long story short, it says in verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. God rewarded them for standing up for him. A little bit later in that chapter, and the king communed with them, talking about all those young men, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Because they had God with them, and they put their faith and trust in God in every situation. I'm sure that all of us at some time or another has doubted our salvation. I can remember in my teenage years, maybe even in my early 20s, me doubting my salvation. I thought I had to do this. I thought I had to do this. And finally, Jesus spoke to me. It's like he was right there with me. I didn't see him. I didn't hear him. It's like Brother Roy says, it's that still small voice that's louder than anything audible. He spoke to me and he says, Brian, why are you doubting your salvation? He says, I died on the cross for you. My blood is sufficient to cleanse all your sins. What can you do, anything else, to help your salvation but believe in me? And I'm thankful. From that time on, I've never once doubted my salvation. So first thing I ask you tonight, church and youth, do you have eternal security tonight? Do you know that you know that you know that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've accepted him as Lord and Savior? That's the main point tonight that we read in Hebrews. And my prayer is that if you haven't, that you would make things right with the Lord tonight. Chapter 2 in Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he called all the astrologers and magicians. Now, we don't have time to go into Nebuchadnezzar's life. You would think after the first chapter, the things that happened, they would go to Daniel first. But no, they didn't. He went to those magicians and astrologers and said, I had this dream, and it troubled me. I don't even remember the dream. I want you to tell me the dream, and I want you to tell me the interpretation. Well, there's like, this is too much to ask of us. You can't ask us to do this. So Nebuchadnezzar says, that's enough. I've gave you all this stuff to serve me and to do all this work for me. I'm going to kill you. So he put out a decree to kill all the wisdom, the wise men. But Daniel said, wait a minute. In verse 16, in verse 2, chapter 2, it says, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. Okay. First thing Daniel wanted to do is seek God. He wanted to pray about it. But not only by himself, he wanted to go to his Christian friends and help them pray about it too. That's why we need to get Christian friends in our lives to encourage us to have the same thinking, that it has a kindred spirit with us, so that we can come to God and pray about things together. Verse 19 says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." See, he didn't take any glory whatsoever. He knew and gave the praise and honor to the glory of God. 21 says, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him." He knows everything in and out about everything. He knows you in and out. He knows your future. And he knows what's best for you if we put our trust in him and ask him to guide us in our lives. Says in verse 26, "The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, and the astrologers, and the musicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king." Nobody could tell him. He didn't say, "But I can." No. He said, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." And God, through Daniel, gave Nebuchadnezzar his dream and the interpretation thereof. We don't have time to go into it. I encourage you to read this sometime. The whole book of Daniel, it's just an awesome, awesome book. As we live our lives, we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Each and every day, I think now, you know, I mentioned I was saved at 8 years old. I didn't really understand everything now, but I believe more and more day after day after day that I live, more and more I realize that I need a Savior to save me from my sins. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thine hand." You see, each and every day of our lives, he molds us and makes us after his will, as the songwriter says. When I finished high school, or kind of at the end of high school, you know, you're thinking about what do you want to do with your life, what you want to do career-wise and things. I took physics when I was a senior in high school, and it really appealed to me. And we did a lesson a few weeks on electronics, and that just fascinated me. So that became an interest of mine. And growing up, you know, I grew up on an apple farm, and I always wanted to grow apples for a living, but my dad never did encourage it. He said, "You need to," and this was his words, "you need to go to college and get you a real job, because farming's tough." And I went to college, got a degree in electronics engineering, and tried to get a job. Some of you may be unsure about what you want to do. Sometimes you have to just go with what your interests are and pray to God give you guidance. But if he doesn't give you guidance, just say, "If I do something, Lord, put a stop in front of it. Stop it, Lord, and correct me." So I went to college, and I got out of college. I couldn't get a job. Everybody wanted experience. They didn't care about that degree. They wanted experience. And so I helped my dad a little bit in the apples for a few months, and I said, well, I think I'm going to join the Marines. You know, I've always wanted to be a fighter pilot. Well, you know, the recruiters, they promise you the world and all that. But anyway, to make a long story short, I did everything I needed to do except for sign the last paper. And one morning, the Lord, I was in the wrong because I didn't ask the Lord if he wanted me to do that. That's one of those things in my life I just done on my own. And the Lord said, Brian, you don't need to go to the military. Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the military, and I appreciate all of you guys that's fought for our freedoms and for our country. And that is in the will of God for some people, but it wasn't in the will for me. And the Lord says, no, you don't go to the Marines. And I know that my mom and dad probably prayed, because when I told them I wasn't going, you could see it on their face that they were happy. Not long after that, I was offered a job in a related field to electronics, working on office equipment. And I was like, this ain't really what I went to school for, but maybe I ought to take it and get some experience, maybe. So I did that, and I thought all along that, well, I'll just work there a year or two, and that'll be some experience. But I ended up staying 16 years. That was in the will of God for my life. In that time, I got married, started a home, had kids. God provided through that job, through thick and thin, to get me grounded. So, make a long story short, God wants you to trust in him in every aspect of his life. Romans 8:24-25 says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You see, we like to look from the fleshly perspective. We like to look at the surface of things. But with God, it's unseen. And we've got to put our faith and trust in him. When it comes to finding your spouse, you need to most importantly involve God in it. I'm not going to tell you all the experience and things that I went through that I left God out. I'm going to tell you what God did in my life with my spouse. Because I did a lot of things on my own that I'm not proud of. I did a lot of things on my own that I left God out. But you see, Jesus has the perfect spouse for you. I went to the Peach Festival in Gaffney when I was 24 years old. And they had a Christian singing their group during the Peach Festival that went to. And I was actually at that same church I mentioned, Mountain Home. I was actually working with the youth at the time. And so I took some of the youth, but some may say this is not the appropriate time to do this, but I seen two young ladies on the front row praising the Lord during that singing. And I felt the prompting of the Lord to, maybe I need to go talk to these people. So I encourage you, you need to look for your spouse in the right places, you know, because I went to some of the wrong places in my life. Anyway, met these two young ladies, and I was very interested in them because they loved the Lord. I prayed about it, And I had a little ordeal because I liked both of them. And I was working on office in an office in the big BB&T building downtown Asheville. I think they've tore it down now and renovating it. But I was coming down the elevator after working on that machine, and I said, "Lord, I need you to show me which one that you want me to be with." I stepped out of the elevator, walked out in the parking lot, and Denise's mom was in the parking lot. And I knew right then and there which one that he wanted me to be with. So we started dating, and in 2 weeks, I knew she was the one. Because God's hand is in it. Now, I'm not saying you should know in 2 weeks who your spouse is. That's just the way it worked for me. But I didn't propose to her later, but I did mention it to her. I did talk to her about it. But anyway, God has plans for you. I mentioned to you here in Daniel, and I mentioned that Daniel was my hero. You remember Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem. He took Jerusalem, took all most of the Israelites captive into Babylon, but yet Daniel was faithful. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were faithful. They were the three children that were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow to the God of gold that Nebuchadnezzar stood up. God's going to be with you in everything that you do. Y'all know the story, but God, the Nebuchadnezzar threw them in to the fiery furnace. It was so hot that it killed some of the guards as they was throwing them in. But listen to what King Nebuchadnezzar said. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." He's going to be with you in everything you do. You've just got to commit to Him. Just like we read in Hebrews, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must diligently seek Him. The song right before I started, "Sweet Hour of Prayer," is so fitting. We must pray and ask God diligently. The Bible says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Not just driving to school, driving to work, saying, "Lord, be with me today." I mean, yeah, that's okay. But spend some alone time with Him. Speak to Him fervently, earnestly, diligently, and ask Him to be involved in every aspect of your life because He will be there for you. Daniel in chapter 9, fervently prayer, and I encourage you to read it. We don't have time. Read chapter 9 of Daniel. He prayed and sought God's face, and he prayed for forgiveness for his sins and for the sins of the people. And what did he do? In chapter 9, it says in verse 19, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." Do you see how he was earnestly and fervently praying? And then he says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Could you imagine how that would feel? You were praying so hard that Gabriel showed up. What an awesome thing. But he says, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And he gives him some prophecy concerning the end of times, and we're not going to go into that. He is, when you're connected to God, when you're praying to God fervently and getting on His level and involving Him, He's going to involve you in His mission and in His will. This is talking about things that's going to happen for eternity, things that's going to happen for sure. It talks about Jesus coming. It talks about Jesus coming again. It talks about the end. But listen to what Gabriel tells Daniel. Verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. What commandment is that? For him to fly swiftly down to Daniel. It wasn't so much what Daniel prayed, it was his heart. God knew what he was going to pray and knew his heart. So God said, okay, Gabriel, go down and talk to Daniel, even before he finished his prayer. That's an awesome example of what God can do. Now, again, remember I said that Jerusalem, the children of Israel were in bondage to Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. And Jeremiah, listen to this promise that he gives them, and we can apply it to our lives too. Jeremiah 29:10 says, For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. In other words, you can return to Israel. Verse 11, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. He cares about you. He cares about me. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He cares about He wants to be involved in our lives, in the big things, the big decisions that I've touched out, but maybe the little things too. He wants to be involved in our lives. I mentioned before about the times that I didn't involve Him. It's nothing but misery, heartache, miserable when you don't involve the Lord, when you try to handle things on your own. He wants to give us thoughts of peace and not of evil. It's going to be perfect. The plans He has for you. To give you an expected end. Now, I mentioned first of all, we must have faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. And if I ask you, if you haven't done that tonight you would make that right. But if you have, we need to trust and put our faith in Jesus. He says here to give you an expected end. Brother Gunn mentioned this morning, we've got a city, New Jerusalem in heaven, waiting to come down. Just one of the things that He has for us. If we believe in Him, if we trust in Him, we have eternal life. We don't have to go to a devil's hell. Yes, we deserve that because we're all sinners. But Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. John says, In my Father's house are many mansions. Just a description of that holy city, New Jerusalem. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You believe that he's preparing that Jerusalem for you right now? He's preparing it for us. Wouldn't you like to have a little glimpse? We couldn't handle it. It says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's that expected end he has for us if we put our faith and trust in him. Two more verses in closing. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Forever. We don't have to worry about this terrible sinful world. We don't have to worry about what Brother Roger prayed about, what things waxing worse and worse. We don't have to think about the leaders of our country that Justin mentioned this morning. We have hope, eternal hope in Jesus Christ, if we believe in him and put our faith and trust in him. We can have hope. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have hope in Jesus Christ. True hope. We don't have to put our hope in anything else. So at this time, I ask you if Misty or somebody would come play softly on the piano. If God's dealing with you tonight, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation, His Word says. Now is the expected time. You must come to Him. So I ask you to come. He's died for you. He's given you life eternal. All you've got to do is reach out and grab it. It's a free gift. There's nothing you have to do. Our Awana theme verse this year is John 6:28-29. The people were following Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000. They were intrigued by this man teaching. And they wanted to know more about what they needed to do to follow God. They said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Plain. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He hath sent. In other words, you believe on Jesus who God had sent. Do you believe Him tonight? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Tonight's the night to get it right. Secondly, do you want to involve Jesus and God and the Lord in your life? In the little decisions, in the big decisions, youth, I challenge you, step out. I know it's not easy. I've been there. I still struggle with coming to the altar. But maybe, just maybe, tonight's the night that you need to get serious about following Jesus. Come on to this altar and pray to Him. One last thing. As I mentioned about confesses the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe some of you tonight would like to come and confess Him publicly that you believe in Him. Don't worry about what people think. I guarantee you that everybody in this room will be happy that you come down here and say something. They're not going to say, oh, look at her, or look at him, look what he did. They're not going to do that. They're going to be happy that you come down here and testified for the Lord. So maybe you might want to come and say something today to give praise and honor to Him, because He is worthy to be praised. Brother Gunn.
Let's all stand tonight. You've heard the invitation. If you want to come and thank the Lord for saving you, give a word of testimony. Whatever your need is, this altar is open. What a challenge it is that Brian's given us to pray, to seek Him, to put Him first in our life. As Misty sings this song, whatever your need is, this altar's open.
She passed away. I had done had my surgery scheduled, and I went ahead and done it. I don't think I had time to grieve. I don't think I had time to realize that she was gone. I mean, I could look in the room and I'd go in there. I knew she was, but I hadn't really thought about it. and I was laying there in the operating, fixing to go into the operating room. And I was thinking about Jolly. And I just thought if she was alive, she would be here. She would be praying for me. And a friend that I've had for life, she's only about a month older than I am, and we grew up together, and we've been friends all of our lives. Stuck her hand in the curtain, round the curtain. Well, I just busted out bawling. She said I had to tell him I was your sister to get in. I have been blessed so much with family and friends. And I can't tell you how blessed I am. I have pride and peace. God seemed fit for us not to have children, but He blessed us with the most precious child on this earth. And not only did He give me the son to go with her, my granddaughters are the most precious thing to me in my life. And to see Brian and Denise teaching them, I can't help but to praise Him tonight.
Hey.
He is the most precious thing that you can ever have in your life.
Yes, He is.
And
yes,
He can bless you more than you can ever imagine. Yes. God is so good.
Bless you. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Word of testimony. I missed you playing. I'm going to ask something a little different. We'll close the service out. I'm going to ask all of our young people. Christian, why don't you come up here and stand in the middle? Naya, Avery, Anna Lee, Sawyer, Ella, Miss Lance, if you want to send your crew up. Lauders, if they want to come up. Is Miss Carly, she? Any young people in the house? We're going to pray for them. Anyone else? Here comes Miss Carly. You're more than welcome, brother. If you want to send them up, we're going to pray for them. As Brother Joe said this morning, it's a praying church. We just want to ask the Lord to watch over them, keep them, give them the zeal, desire to serve the Lord as Daniel had, that they may purpose in their heart. They will not defile themselves with the things of this world, the things that this world has to offer. And God will be real for them. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we want to thank You this afternoon for the message. Thank You for Brother Brian, his desire to lead and to guide and to watch over the Awana program. And God, I thank You for our young people. Father, there's so many that's not here tonight, God. And I pray, Lord, that You'd watch over them. And Father, Lord, that You'd give them a desire and a zeal to serve You like they've never served You before. Lord, I pray You give them the boldness and, Father, let them purpose in their heart, Father, that You're on the throne. Father, that You're all that matters. And Lord, I pray that You'll go before them. Lord, keep them safe. Lord, I pray, God, that they would experience You and Your glory and Your majesty. And Father, You'd be real to them. Lord, let them be a witness to You at school as they go. And Father, let them know there's always one beside them, before them and over them, and that's Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for this church, Lord, that You've entrusted us with these young people, Lord, that You would give us the wisdom and the discernment, Father, to guide and direct. And Lord, we love You tonight. We thank You, God, for the service this morning and the service tonight. Thank You we can call upon Your name, knowing You're there to help us. And Father, You're there to protect us. And God, most of all, I'm thankful that You saved us for the blood of Your precious Son that You shed on Calvary, Lord. Thank You for that blood. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank You.